Good morning. Before we begin, I just want to make a short announcement. There is no children's story today, so if you are a child, you should be in Sunday school at this point. Please turn to the second last page of your bulletin for the call to worship. Thanks and praise to you, Jesus Christ, King and Lord of all, given the name above every other name. King of righteousness, Prince of peace, living forever to intercede for us. Pioneer of our salvation, you bring us to glory through your death and resurrection.
Please join us in the first hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past, the Mennonite Hymnal, page number 84. now number 4 and number 6, please.
Today is Eternity Sunday. On this special Sunday, we have many guests today, and I extend a warm welcome to each and every one of you, and thank you for joining us in this special Sunday. There are a few announcements that I've been asked to highlight in the bulletin. Number one, in particular, we wish to send condolences out to Dorothy and Hans Penner, Ingrid and Rick Lowen, Harold and Karen Beckert, Erica and Dick Cron, along with their families and friends, on the passing of Ella Beckert on November 17, 2016. The funeral will take place at 10:30 a.m. on Tuesday, November 22nd, here at church. In addition, I'd like to highlight number 7. Tim and Steph are here today, and we would wish to help them out by providing them with some meals. Anyone wishing to help, please contact Kim Zacharias. Furthermore, the Refugee Committee has provided an update for us. That is announcement number 6, and you may read that at your convenience.
The family of Ella Beckert have requested that we sing the memorial hymn, Gott ist die Liebe, number 507, in your Gesangbuch der Mennoniten. Please stand. Choir is asked to rehearse at the church on Tuesday at 9:45 for the funeral.
Now it's our time to come together before God and lay the concerns of our hearts on Him. Would you bow with me as we pray? God, we come today, many with tear-stained faces. We have come because You are our God. You love us, You walk with us, and You have given us the amazing gift of the people around us, and we thank You. Thank You for our families and for the hope that You place within us. Thank You for the promise of eternity and the way that You never, ever, ever abandon us. We pray for the people in our family, with church family, for Ella Bickard and her family as she has passed away. Be with the family and help them to feel Your nearness in a special way. We pray also for Simon. Thank You that Tim and Steph can be here today and feel the love and care of Your family. We think of our larger world as we see what goes on in Syria. And God, sometimes things feel out of control, but we know You are there. And so today we ask that You would help us to feel You holding us in the palm of Your hand as we go about our life. Amen. I'd like to ask Zach Duick if he would join me at the front. As he's coming up, Zach has been at North Kildonan the same length as I have been. In fact, I went out for coffee with him just after we got here. I thought he was an old hand at being here, and he thought I was, so we shared our ignorance. What can we say? Zach has been active as he's been here at North Kildonan Mennonite Church. He's been involved with the youth, an active part of the young adults. He's been a greeter. He preached here last year. Now, come right on up front here. We got a pulpit for you. And he's done some music, and so we're really happy to have you here. Now, Zach just recently got a job. He studied at CMU, looking for a job as youth pastor, and so it's with mixed feelings that we invite you up. We've just loved having you here, but we're happy and excited for you. So Zach's going to tell us a little bit about his task, and then Kim is going to come up on behalf of the Quilt Ministry.
All right. I'm going out to Mount Royal Mennonite Church to be associate pastor of youth men. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet because it's only a part-time position, but it's essentially going to be hopefully just leading youth events a couple nights a week and building the community around youth. So, yeah, we'll see what it turns into with me there.
That's probably a really wise approach, Zach. I hope you like pizza.
Yeah.
Kim, would you please come on behalf of the Prayer Shawl Ministry?
All right. Knowing that Zach's favorite color was pink, I knew that having something pretty bold and colorful would be appropriate for him. This is your prayer shawl or quilt. I'm going to put that on you. Doesn't that look like him? when we met this week to bless the quilt, we laid our hands on it and we set our standard blessing on it. But I wrote an extra one for you. okay. Blessings to you, Zach, as you have been invited to start a new job in Saskatoon. Together and separately, that congregation and you have indeed prayed, evaluated, interviewed, and now anticipate a future filled with new hope. May you enjoy relocating to a new city, the excitement of a new dwelling, and appreciate meeting and working with a new congregation. May you particularly share your passion for Christ with the youth. Thank you so very much for sharing your gifts and talents with our own young adults and youth. They will absolutely miss your enthusiasm and colorfulness. We pray that you will continue to grow and learn as you experience the challenges and many blessings in store for you. May this new opportunity bring fulfillment and happiness, provide for your needs, and enable you to freely give to the needs of others as you said, a wonderful example through your speech, life, love, and faith.
Zach, if you'd come join me over here. What we like to do at North Kildonan is when we are blessing someone, invite you to participate. So if you would like to come up and lay your hands on Zach, Chris Titterton is going to have a prayer of blessing. So come on up and we'd like to send Zach off with our blessing.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I'd like to thank you for Zach. Thank you for all that he has been for this church. Thank you for the influence he's had, particularly with our youth and our young adults group. Thank you for all the talents and gifts that he's brought to us here at this church. And I ask you to be with Zach now as he moves on to a new chapter, moves to Saskatchewan, and brings his gifts to another church. I ask you to be with him and be with the church there. Help them to be guided by Zach and help them to guide him in return. I ask you to be with him as he forms a new community and new bonds and builds a new life in a new city. Amen.
Now, if you're able, please stand and join us in the hymn 472 in the German, the Gesangbuch der Mennoniten, Auf ewig bei dem Herrn.
Thank you.
Today is a very special Sunday for us as a church. It's Eternity Sunday. Today is a Sunday where we light candles as we remember those who have passed away. This year there are 14 people who are associated with our church. You'll find their names in the bulletin. You'll note that Ella Bickert is not in there. She passed away just a few days ago, and it's hard for the family, so we'll include her next year. What we'll be doing in a few moments is Paul will read the names of the people on the list, and then a family member or one of our caregivers will come up and will give you a candle and light a candle at the front. After that, we would invite anyone who would like to light a candle in memory of someone who has passed away. You're welcome to come and do that. If you're not a regular part of this congregation, today we claim you, and you're at home, and you belong, and you are welcome. The reason we light candles is exactly because we are people of faith. The candle we light from, the one that is burning at the front, is the Christ candle. And as we light our candle, we are saying we believe that because of Jesus' resurrection, life, death no longer holds us. And we will see these people again, and we look forward to it. Paul says to the church in 1 Thessalonians 4, don't grieve as people who have no hope. We don't. We grieve as people who do have hope, because death hurts like crazy. We were meant to be in relationship, and when that's torn away, something's missing and we hurt. And so we come to remember, to put our confidence in God, and we trust that the service today is one of healing and encouragement. You come today to remember that God is here, that He surrounds you with His Holy Spirit, and that we, your church family, even if we only adopt you for today, we, your church family, are here to pray for you and to let you know that we stand with you. I'd like to invite Paul to begin.
John Martens. Henry Klein. Maria Weens. Margarita Berg.
Thanks, Alice.
Peter Dirksen. Ken Arlt. Glenda Arnott. Mm-hmm. Vic Jansen. Annie Neufeldt. Kathy Thiessen. Susan Schindel. Margarita Claussen. Dagmar Redekop. John Gunther.
Now I'd like to invite anyone else who would like to come up and light a candle in memory of somebody who's been important to you who has passed away to come up. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much that you understand the pain and burden of our hearts. Thank you that you have met us here this morning. We have felt your arm around our shoulder. We know that as much as you point us toward the future with the joy of being reunited, you feel with us in our pain as well. Once again, we ask that you would continue to walk with those families who grieve today as they head home. In the midst of the tears, give them the assurance that you are there. You will always be with us. Amen.
Please join us now in singing the offering hymn, Under His Wings I Am Safely Abiding, number 575 in the Blue Book. sorry, it's in the brown book.
Our scripture reading today is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Well, I've been told to quit shortening sermons. Not sure a whole lot of preachers hear that one. So we might run a little over. For those of you who are ardent followers of the Daily Bonnet, we'll try not to keep you here till you starve to death. Also from that same wonderful, reliable source, I understand that in our next hymn book, Leonard Cohen's song Hallelujah is going to be included. So something to look forward to. Control and power are tricky things. They're just part of our world, but it's tricky how we use them. Some people use them fairly well. We take a look at our government, and yes, we all have some ideas about how they can improve things, but generally speaking, doing okay. We look at ISIS, on the other hand, not so good. at least from our perspective. There's a few things they do that look like an abuse of power, at least, again, from where we sit. Some people make decisions and use power in ways that's sometimes a little controlling. For the last few months, some of us have been watching what appears to be a political reality show south of the 49th, and I understand there's four seasons of it locked in. And we take a look at how that goes, and it's a little confusing to me how we're going to make America great by throwing out all the illegal immigrants, building a wall and protecting it with dogs, and probably because it's near the Everglades, alligators, to keep people out. Or, apparently, and admittedly this was several months ago before our friend Mr. Trump thought he would make it, saying that Islam is the basis of our troubles in the world, and so there's going to be a registry of people who are Muslim and not allow any more in. That seems a little questionable. Power and control are difficult. We don't know exactly, even those of us who have them, exactly how to use them. And it's not a commodity in and of itself. When I was in youth, Sunday night once in a while, we would go to one of the youth place who had a TV. She had a big one. It was a 17-inch. And we would watch Gunsmoke, not necessarily approved by the church or our parents, but we did it. It's about as edgy as we got. And in Gunsmoke, the good guys and the bad guys had the same power. It was called a Colt 45. And the difference was the bad guys used their power to rob banks and rustle cattle, and the good guys used their power to stop the bad guys from robbing banks and rustling cattle. So we were all glad that the good guys were the fastest draw, because otherwise it would have been a short series, I suppose. I was listening on the news yesterday, no, about 3 days ago now, and it was a discussion about the Obama administration. And they were talking about what they had and hadn't done. And they said one of the things that they did, if I understood this correctly, was they left some laws intact that allowed the government to use torture when necessary. And the rationale was that the Obama administration were such nice people, they would never do this inappropriately. Now, it might just be me, but what is an appropriate use of torture? I struggle with that. We all live in a world where we also, in one place or another, have power and control, and we struggle to know how to use that. Power and control comes from many different things. Sometimes it's position, parent, teacher, boss, pastor, whatever. Sometimes it's wealth, background, gender, age, looks. There's lots of things that give us power and control. And we can use it in different ways. You probably, as I have had bosses in my life who were mentors. Amazing. I just love to go to work for them. And other bosses who were less fun to work for. Let me pick on the church because that's where I live or have done. It confuses me as I look at how we as a church have used power and control. I remember going to a seminar one time where they said to us, as pastors, you have to own the power you have, because if you pretend it's not there, chances are you're going to abuse it. So be aware of the power you have. And it amazes me the way we in the church can take our Bible and whack people on the head in the name of theological purity and do and say things which are highly out of keeping with the character of Christ. And we say we need to do this because it's right. And I think, aren't we supposed to be followers of Jesus, you know, Christ-like? What do they call that again? Christian? And so I also struggle to know how to use power and control. Today, as we've repeated many times, is Eternity Sunday. And it's a Sunday where we recognize that through Jesus' death and resurrection, the power of death has been broken. And through tears, we celebrate that. Some traditions expand that a little bit and say they call it Christ the King Sunday. It's a time when we recognize that Jesus is King of all. And the passage that Paul read talked about that. Over all history, over all time, over all everything. That's a given. And so we say, okay, how does Jesus use power and control? Reasonable question, right? But as we look at the story, it looks like somebody forgot to send this memo to heaven to say, when you come, use power and authority. Look at the picture of Jesus as king. The first one is the wise men coming. They're looking for a king. What do they find? Child born in a stable to an unwed teenage girl. And her and her fiancé, within a few years, run for their lives to Egypt. They're refugees. This is a real picture of power and control, right? Or his life. Throughout his life, Jesus was a person with incredible power. He had the power to touch people's hearts. He spoke with authority, the Bible says. He also did these miracle things, right? But as we read the story, where in there is he using this to build up a kingdom? Where is he using this for his own ends? And what we see is he uses what he has for power to touch hearts, to embrace the people who would listen to him, which was typically the people on the fringes. We see him at the on Palm Sunday. There he is on the hill on a donkey, and I can just hear the people saying, "A donkey? Who brought the donkey? It was supposed to be a white horse. Today's the day. We're going to chase him down into Jerusalem, and he's going to take over the Romans." And they can imagine them tapping him on the shoulder and said, "Look, we don't quite get you, but do go down there, do that magic stuff, and make us proud and get rid of the Romans." And what does Jesus say? He weeps. And he says, "Oh, people, you don't understand what makes for peace." And a week later, we see him in stories in John 18, standing in front of Pilate. And he's Pilate scratching his head. There in front of him is a man who's clearly being mocked with a purple robe and a crown of thorns. Like, what are you? Are you a king? And Jesus says, "My kingdom isn't of this world." Hold that. We're going to come back to that in a minute. And so they nail him to the cross, which was the ultimate sign of power and control by the Roman government. We're in charge. Mess with us, and this is what you get. And finally, we see Jesus in Revelation 19. This time, he's on a white horse. But he doesn't have on military gear. He's wearing the kind of clothes you use to go to a wedding. And they're covered in blood, not the blood of the people that he's slain, his own. And so people come in Jesus' day, and since then, they come and say, "Jesus is the king," but don't really get it, because he's not doing the power and control thing that kings do, for benevolent reasons, of course. So what's going on? Jesus comes with something much more effective than power and control as we understand it. John 3:16, you know the verse. What sent Jesus down? For God so loved the world. And Jesus comes down not to threaten or coerce or bribe people to follow him. He comes down to embrace them in love, to change hearts. And that's the power that he uses. This enemy for Jesus isn't people who think different than him. It's not the people who disagree with him or say he's not there. The enemy is called sin. It's that wall that came up between us and God when we turn our back on God. And that's the enemy for Jesus, right? And so what he does, he lives his life showing us how we were to live. This is what God meant for you. And then he dies and breaks the power of sin. It breaks our addiction to sin. So all of a sudden, we can turn around and experience God's love and realize this is who God has called us to be. And then as we walk with God in this relationship, we change. We change because we experience God's love, and we love in response. And you know how it is with people you love, your children, your friends, your spouse, whoever it is. When there's something between us, we want to work at that, because this relationship is so special. And so as we go along in our relationship with God, the Holy Spirit keeps nudging us. "Hey, you want to think about this a little bit? Oh, yeah. Slowly, slowly, he molds us into the person he has created us to be, that we long to be his children. And so now he becomes our king. Why? Because we follow him. Why? Because he changed us from the inside, not the power and control of our world. And then he looks at us and says, go and love your enemy. And I don't know about you, but I've always read that verse kind of like, go and eat your liver. You know, it's something that you're supposed to do because it's good for you, but you really don't want to and you can hardly wait till it's done. Not what he's saying. You got to watch Jesus. He usually has got something going on behind. And what he's saying is, I want you, now that you understand love, I want you to go out there and look at your enemy through my eyes. What do you see? And it's a trick, because they're not an enemy anymore. When we look at the enemy with Jesus' eyes, what do we see? We see people created in God's image that God dearly, dearly loves, full of a potential and all sorts of wonderful things. And he says, go love them. And then some of us forget, and we think he said, go fix them. And so we go out there and we try and fix them. And it doesn't work well. Just like when people try and fix us, it doesn't work well. And when he says, no, no, no. How did you change? Oh, yeah. God loved me, and I came in, and through his Spirit, he slowly convicted me of sin, and I changed to become, and it was an exciting process. Well, he says, it's all you need to do, too. Some years ago, I may have mentioned this story once before, but if you remember my sermons as long as I do, it may sound new. When I was at seminary, I was, one semester I was particularly busy, had an extra class, and I was candidating, and in one class I handed in a paper. It was an Old Testament class. And I got it back and got an A on there. That was not an A paper. I knew that, and I knew the professor, Millard Lynn, knew that as well. So I, into his office, I put the paper on the desk and I said, what is this? This is not an A paper. And he just looked at me and he smiled and he said, I know what you're capable of, and I'm going to get A papers from now on. He did. But what did he do? He didn't treat me like I had acted a B paper. He treated me like he knew I could be. And what God does for us is he gives us his eyes, and we see people not necessarily as they are, but as they can be. And we begin to treat them maybe better than they deserve or better than they act, because we know that's in there. And we're just going to love them, and that's going to change them, just the way God's love changed us. Christ the King. Christ becomes our King because he turns the world upside down. Not because he can go out there and whoop everybody, right? But because he loves us and changes us from the inside and makes us long to be what he has called us to be. And so today we as God's people are invited to sit down and think, yes, Christ the King, he's Lord over death. He's beat that. But we don't have to sit there and worry about the world and everything. We want to do our best. We want to be benevolent and generous and pray for our government and all of that. But we know that the God who is moving history toward his ends is there. And it gives us a quiet confidence. Christ is King. I invite you to find joy in that as you ponder on that today.
Let's join together to sing Rejoice, the Lord is King, the Blue Book, number 288.
our benediction today, Mr. Fust has kindly volunteered to share a poem with us that he has written. So I will let
Yes, I volunteer to say a poem which I got it on my piece of paper. I tried to learn that by memory, but sometimes my memory in such auditorium losing control, and I go across the lines, and so now I wanna make it sure and have the letter here. What I wanna say is, for that I am in the church and up here, I should say big thanks to my mother, first of all. She always talked to me that Jesus loves me and he wanted me to come to the church. And I was very educated in the school that there is no God, there is just people, and you is the power. But how can I say that I am have the power in that? I couldn't say that, and so I listen more my mother and father. He told me that I shouldn't go his way. Before he died, he talked to me like that. He said that his way was very sinful because he had to live like that. That was the system. And then I said to him, okay, now how I can reject that? That is a system. He said, God gives you a head and I have to and den Kopf verstanden in your last broke it. So, and we were talking here how God using his power, yeah, maybe use it through our mothers, our parents. Especially, I want to say that my mother contributed to that I'm in the church or up here now, even through my mother. She always, or in the evening, I was very seldom at home because I was in a movie theater operator. So then when I come home, I was a little bit maybe drunk already. And then she tried to know me about God and thing, everything. Then she read in the Bible for me. And sometimes she sings with me the songs which I should touch my heart. Yes, and in the morning, especially when I am sober, then she also be singing and praying before meal, and that's why I pray now for all those mothers that they should contribute to their sons or daughters for their coming to the church. So, and again, I will tell that this poem in German language, so I again do not know English so good, so sorry. And I have even now, because of my stroke, I have to use the Vergrößerungs Glas, or how you say that in English, I don't know. Dein Wille geschehe. Yeah, that's I would say so now. So sprach ich oft und gern, als Not, Trübsal und Sorgen fern. Dann kamen Stunden, so bang, so schwer, da wollte es kaum über die Lippen, o Herr. Wenn das Herz blutet und die Seele weint, wenn der Nacht, der helle Tag als Nacht erscheint, dann ist es so unsagbar schwer zu sprechen, dein Wille geschehe. O Herr, dann möchte ich sprechen, Herr, muss es denn sein? Dann ist es so unsagbar schwer zu sprechen, dein Wille geschehe, o Herr. Dann möchte ich sprechen, Herr, muss es denn sein? Nur das nicht, nur dieses nicht, o Herr, o Vater mein. Und das Herz strebt sich, den Weg zu gehen. Es kann den Allmächtigen nicht verstehen. Und es ruft in all dem Schmerz und Pein. Mein Gott, soll das Liebe sein? Und wieder, Vater mein, vergib mein Zweifel, du hast mich doch lieb. Verzieht sich mein Herz auch in Weh und Pein, muss dennoch dein Weg rechte sein. Dein Wille geschehe zwar wenn ich's auch nicht will. Doch macht diese Weise mein Herz mir nicht still. Herr, lehr du mich sprechen. Lehr du mich sprechen vom Herzensgrund. Dass ich spreche mit dem Herz, nicht nur mit dem Mund. Dein Wille geschehe, nicht wie ich es will. Nur so wird es in mir allmählich still. Herr, wende mein Herz ganz ab von der Welt und führe du mich, wie dir es gefällt. Sind rau auch die Wege und Dornen voll. Ich weiß, du führst mich dennoch wohl. Das soll meine tägliche Bitte sein, dass ich nichts begehre als dich nur allein. Dein Wille geschehe, wenn die Sonne lacht. Dein Wille in Trübsal und dunkler Nacht. Dein Wille geschehe jetzt und ewiglich. So nimm Herz und Hände und führe mich. Dann, wenn ich auch das Ziel deiner Wege nicht sehe, du führst mich dennoch wohl. Herr, dein Wille geschehe. Amen.
Let's stand and join together to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness.